Ladies and gentlemen, have we got a battle royale for you today? On this episode, in the blue corner, we have our favorite, mad at the world, shits on everyone and everything, standing at 5'3", whilst carrying around a massive dark cloud overhead, Sarah Shorkey.
You suck!
And in the red corner, measuring at a whopping 5'9", fueled by curry, and never stops talking about food and, well, never stops talking, period, we have our vegan nutritionist and vegan chef friend, Amy Longard. And today, folks, these two lovely ladies are going head-to-head with Sarah representing the normal people of the world who hate to cook and use Uber Eats on the weekly, while Amy fights for all the foodies out there and her life's mission to show how vegan food can be healthy and nutritious, and yes, that everyone can learn to love to cook.
Bullshit.
Hey, the match hasn't started yet, thank you. I, of course, will be your referee. And I'm really going to try to keep my opinions and comments to myself for once, mostly because what fired Sarah up in the first place was that she was editing the last episode and basically thought that I was hogging the mic the entire time and throwing in too much of my own vegan bodybuilding thoughts and opinions. Apparently, she only wanted to hear what Amy had to say.
Are you done with this voice yet?
Yes. Okay, so perhaps share briefly your side of the story and why you're so mad at Amy and me after editing the last episode that you were too cool to participate in.
Yes, clearly I should have been there. I just find it irritating when people who love to do something like cooking talk about how easy it is to do. It's like you and going to the gym. You're always like, if you care, you'll make time. But you love going to the gym, whereas most people hate it.
So basically what my sister is trying to say is that we need to do another episode with Amy where we actually break this whole meal prep, healthy cooking thing down even further. So let's bring Amy onto the podcast already and let you guys hash it out or let you get free advice. And for all you listeners out there, I think you're going to love this episode, and I really hope that you will check out the Fit and Healthy Over 40 Fitness and Vegan Nutrition Program that I am running with Amy in just a few short weeks, starting in April, if you like what we talk about and think you could benefit from the fitness knowledge with me and the nutrition info from Amy.
Welcome to the Jacked on the Beanstalk Vegan Podcast. Hosted by the Shorkey Sisters. Repping the vegan hippie meatheads of the world is Sam, the first ever vegan World Naturals bikini pro, coach, author, and blogger, who's got an ass that's out of this world. Repping the busy, tired moms of the world is Sarah, and her ass is, well, mediocre. Together, they're on a mission to live with purpose and unlock the mysteries of a healthy mind, body, and spirit. So grab a seat in the back of Sarah's minivan and enjoy the ride.
All right, everybody, we are here with Amy Longard, vegan chef, vegan nutritionist, and a good friend of mine. But little Sari was given the task to come up with a list of questions for Amy, all surrounding vegan meal prep for the average person. She's got a lot of good ones in there, and I think a lot of people listening who also might be struggling with the same things will get a lot of value out of this. So I'm going to try my best to remain quiet.
Yeah, right.
And we will let Amy respond as she sees fit. And yeah, I might just chime in every once in a while. Is that okay, Sarah?
We'll see. Yeah, and for the record, my purpose is not to attack anyone here. I just think there are a lot of people out there who are at least somewhat in my boat where they want to eat healthy, but they hate cooking or feel slightly overwhelmed in the kitchen.
Sarah listened to our last podcast, and she did not resonate with it. So we're doing this again because Sam and I are both kind of experts in our area, me cooking and nutrition, Sam also nutrition, cooking, and fitness. And we have different, let's say, baselines for what we expect for our food and eating. And sometimes it's easy to go over the average person's head.
All right, so what is your first question, Sarah?
Hello, Amy, and welcome to the show. I would like some ideas for healthy snacks that are portable.
Okay, this is a great question. And I think you also mentioned in one of your other questions that you do lean towards sweet snacks.
Yes, I'm definitely more, like in the morning, I'm not sauteing spinach.
Or tempeh, which yes, Sam likes to eat for breakfast.
That is not a morning thing for me.
And yes, okay, we'll go into the healthy snacks that are portable. I will touch on a little bit of sweet and savory. And I think the main thing with snacks is we really need to stop overthinking it. Snacks can really be anything. It can literally be a smaller portion of a leftover of what you made the night before. There's not a set rule for snacks. So for everybody listening, you don't need to think like, I need a granola bar. Like, it's not like that. It can be anything. It could be any fruit, especially fruits with a peel, banana, orange, or an apple you could have and cut it up and have it with a nut butter, peanut butter, almond butter, sprinkle some cinnamon on it, add a little layer by adding some hemp on top. So those are things we're all gonna have in the fridge. Nuts and seeds. So obviously like a trail mix. That's something you can and I think people should throw into their car for those moments when you're low blood sugar. If you want to make it sweeter, add some chocolate chips. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of dark chocolate chips. I think that's a great idea. You can buy those pre-packaged at stores or you can make your own at home and that's a lot cheaper. Go to the bulk barn or go to Costco. Grab nuts and seeds. They have the really good dark chocolate chips at Costco. Grab some of those. Put that in your trail mix. Mini muffins. I've read through all Sarah's questions. She asked about muffins as well.
Sarah apparently is obsessed with muffins.
There's many questions about muffins. I love having hummus with, you could have crackers, corn tortilla chips, vegetables of your choice. Now that's a savory one, of course. Even honestly, sometimes I'll just have a little square of dark chocolate and some fruit. That could be a snack. And add some nuts with it. If you look up two ingredient cookies, that's actually a really great recipe to make easy cookies. It's literally just mashed bananas and you can grind your own oat flour or buy oat flour or use whatever flour you have. And you literally mix it together. I know you don't like these tossing things without a recipe, but literally that's all you do. Mash up banana, throw flour in, and then you add whatever things you have in your pantry. You could add like dried fruit, chocolate chips. You could add nuts, seeds, and you literally make them into little balls, bake them for 12 minutes. But just Google two ingredient cookies. Everyone who's listening to this, you will find that. You can even add protein powder if you're like any of Sam's diehard protein powder lovers. You can add protein powder to that as well. I love sandwiches. You can make like a little half sandwich for a snack. You don't need to overthink it. Just use what you have. We like lately, and this, I don't know if this will work for your kids or you, Sarah, but we love nori seaweed. That's something you can get at Costco and have that with some cut up veggies. Have that with some fruit. It's just a little salty snack that might tide you over. So you can do store-bought things. Like if you're pressed, like I often do have a little, I guess I have a cupboard. Sam, you kind of have a snack cupboard too, don't you? A little snack cupboard. Well, there are store-bought stuff. Like Sam, I think we did a blog post together, Sam, for my blog, and she talked about some of the savory stuff. So this isn't necessarily for you, Sarah, but other listeners. The bean, they're like
the
a crunchy.
Clean beans, snacking beans are awesome. They're super high in fiber and protein. And if I'm craving like something crunchy and chip-like
in the evening,
get them at Loblaws. They're in where all the like right flavored rice cakes are, all those Quaker.
Crazy. Order them online too.
Yeah,
online,
you can order a box of them and save money. And not all of them are vegan, but the salt and vinegar and the like a sweet chili heat or something like that, it is vegan. So just check the ingredients. The sour cream and onion ones are not vegan, but I love the salt and vinegar ones. And I know you love and vinegar chips. I've got some in the cupboard. We'll snack on some.
I'm so excited.
That'll be horrible audio if I let you snack on them right now.
It's going to be like an ASMR podcast here with Sarah crunching on beans.
But they're called clean beans. I should really be an affiliate for them because I recommend them to everybody. And I don't know if Americans can get them, but I'm sure they have plenty of similar options. They're basically fava beans that have been roasted and really heavily flavored.
Them it's at like a night healthy chip. The
yeah, exactly.
Oh my feel, God. You don't you
finally.
Feel, you don't feel like you're eating chips per se. It's not going to be a chip, but it's a good sort of alternative
it's
to
exactly,
a chip.
Exactly, and it satisfies that craving for something flavorful and crunchy and salty. Nice. Oh, and something I want to add. Amy mentioned hummus with crackers and veggies as a good snack. There is something that now I found it at my local Loblaws, dill pickle hummus, and I cannot believe how good it is. I get sick of hummus easily, but because it literally tastes like dill pickle chips, it's like a dip. It's like a healthy vegan dill pickle dip.
Yeah, good. So we've got a few ideas there. Just a couple more store-bought things. Like I think kind of taking a little page from Sam, you can also throw some protein bars in your car just to have something that's shelf-stable.
Or a Clif bar if you don't like a protein bar.
Yeah, or even fruit bars. Like for children, those of us who have children, it's always good to have those little fruit bars. They're just basically like a dehydrated fruit. So that's an option as well.
And the Simply Protein bars for the bodybuilders listening, I don't know if you can get them in the States, but the macros on them are really good. They're very high in protein and not crazy on the fats and carbs. Simply Protein bars, they're called.
I've literally never been more excited to edit an episode in my life. Like, I'm gonna have like pen and paper.
And we're only on question one.
I know. I feel so optimistic already.
Okay, awesome. That's good. I see sort of the light coming back in your face. It's sort of like Sarah's kind of glowing next to us.
The dark cloud is floating away.
So I guess the last thing I want to say is also, Sam, like this, smoothies make a great snack. We actually repurpose our smoothies and turn them into popsicles at my house. Sometimes Ooh. Those fly for my daughter, sometimes not, but we have like little silicone, they're almost like a push pop.
Yeah.
And you can just pour the smoothie in that, freeze it, and have that for yourself.
An like, ice creamy type.
Yeah, you can make like a nice chocolate protein powder with banana and maybe some berries and turn
like
it into
a healthy fudgesicle.
Exactly.
I do love smoothies.
And summer is coming.
Okay, so we could go a lot on about snacks, but basically, I think the thing is that we often try to make a big deal out of snacks. Just eat what you've got, rummage through the fridge, grab some stuff, throw it in your purse, have a few things in your car too, like we mentioned, and don't overthink it. Snacks are just to sustain you until your next meal for the most part. They don't need to be the best, most delicious, most amazing thing. Right. So don't put pressure on yourself.
Okay.
I like right. it.
That's it.
Yeah. No, I'm the queen of overthinking, so I will tell you right now, that's my biggest problem.
Yeah, totally.
I would like meal suggestions that aren't curry, that are high in nutrition, that will actually feed a whole family and keep them feeling full, because I personally love soup, but my husband is, like, when he gets home from work, he does not want soup for dinner. So simple, healthy, filling, that's not curry, Amy. Okay. And even bean-based meals rather than tofu.
Okay, so we're gonna go with soy-free first and go through a list of things that you can do that are soy-free. So you could do lasagnas. Lasagnas are a really good one. Now it's going to take, lasagnas do take a bit of effort because you're kind of making the filling and then you're layering. But lasagna is something you can make a huge batch. It has noodles in it, which kids like.
Yes.
But how
okay,
do you,
but what would
the
you,
tofu ricotta.
Would, yeah, what would you put in your, because that's
well, what you could do is I would saute vegetables and add some vegetables in if that's going to work with your kids. And just use a tomato sauce from a can, the oven ready lasagna noodles. If you want to look for, say, Sam's listeners who are into more higher protein, look for something like a rice noodle that's going to have more protein than a regular noodle, like a white noodle. And I'd saute the veggies. You could buy vegan cheese shreds, or you could buy a brick of vegan cheese and shred it. Like, don't overthink lasagna either. But the best thing I think to do for lasagna is literally Google vegan lasagna and you'll get tons of ideas, and just kind of cater it to the way you want. But start with a few recipes that you find online. Try one that resonates with you. Look through the ingredients. See
but where's the protein in that without tofu ricotta?
You could use some crumbled, you could make it at like a faux meat if you want it. So that's not going to be as much of a whole food, which is something I normally lean towards, but you could do a Beyond Meat. You could do Impossible Meat. You could do lentils within there and make it into a meat, like Google lentil lasagna. I'm sure there's recipes that have lentil filling.
Totally.
And also, one way I vary from Sam is that I don't think you always need to add in, say, protein necessarily in everything, like an additional protein. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Sam is the problem.
No, Sam, I do agree with Sam. For them, we should be looking at our meals throughout the day and looking where are we getting our protein. But if you're making lasagna and you're just going to do veggies, a lot of mushrooms, a vegan cheese, maybe what I like to do is make a hemp parmesan and sprinkle it over top. That will give it a little bit more protein, and look for higher protein noodles. So that's a way you're still getting in protein. Okay. That's something to start with. I really
the
love...
tofu ricotta is awesome.
I do a really great lasagna with, and this might work for you in terms of using tofu, is where I make a tofu, I guess, ricotta, and I mix it in with the vegetables, and it's one of the layers, and you would not know that it's not cheese. It is so good. I actually made it for a friend the other night. She is gluten-free and dairy-free. So we did gluten-free rice noodles with this tofu ricotta, and then I did the hemp parmesan as the topper, rather than, say, a processed vegan cheese, and that went over really well. I love doing things like a black bean casserole, sort of Mexican casseroles, where you do a corn tortilla layer at the bottom. Again, this is one you can Google and you'll find tons. And you can make a cheesy layer using a cashew cream, where you blend up cashews. They'll probably say this in the recipe. You're getting your protein. You're going to have different layers of vegetables and
maybe I'm gonna
creamy
make this
sauce. I have this recipe. I can send that to you. We like a chili. I'm sure that would go over well with your husband. A black bean quinoa chili would be great. Add in whatever vegetables you want. I did that in one of my classes in 2020. I don't know if you did that one, Sarah. I think you were there for that one. So it's black beans, sweet potato, quinoa chili. Very easy. No soy, high protein, lots of nutrients. We like doing homemade pizzas. You could do that on a store-bought crust, a pita, flatbread. To appease Sam, I will say you could put on some veggie sausages on top for the protein. You could also put your favorite vegetables. We like doing basil, doing a pesto. So pizzas, don't overthink it.
And you know what, Sarah? Even last night, Harry and I were out all evening. We got home. I knew I had to feed him dinner, but it was already close to his bedtime. So I made nachos with organic corn tortilla chips and then salsa. And then I put a ton of black beans, chopped up bell peppers and vegan cheese, and he ate so many of them and like didn't even notice that there was a ton of black beans, but at least I knew he was getting some good fiber, some protein. And yeah, it wasn't the healthiest meal, right? It was still pretty processed between the tortilla chips and the cheese, but it was literally made in like 20 minutes and we both ate half a tray and it was done.
And for Sam, your low carb, high protein people, I think you've done
cauliflower
base. So for people who
cauliflower nachos,
are okay to just take out the nacho chips altogether, layer all that stuff on cauliflower that's roasted, and you've got like a
super low carb.
Sarah's, that wouldn't be up your alley, I don't think. But you know what?
Sprinkle some protein powder on there.
So more ideas for you. Okay, veggie burgers. I mean, you can do homemade, but you can also buy store-bought too. Like, we're all busy people. Have a veggie burger, put it on a sprouted bun.
Or a lettuce wrap if you're watching your carbs.
You can serve it with a side salad, some baked sweet potatoes or baked potatoes, and have like a healthier version of your takeout burger and fries. That might go over with your kids, might go over with your
husband. Air-fried
sweet potatoes. And don't overthink that stuff. Sometimes you're just gonna make a frozen burger and healthify it a bit with a salad on the side and some sweet potatoes, you know? So that can work. I love doing like a lentil marinara. That's a great option for on top of pasta. Children will like that. Adults like it. Sprinkle it again with some hemp parmesan to get a little more nutrition, a little more protein on there.
That's the second time you mentioned hemp parmesan.
I will share that for Sam and she can put that in the show notes. It's the easiest thing to make. Basically, you just blend hemp or cashew, if you want to go cashew, with nutritional yeast, garlic or garlic powder and salt, and you make what is very reminiscent of a parmesan, but much healthier, dairy-free, higher protein. We also love lentil or bean tacos, fajitas. Everybody loves those. I know the Shorkies love baked beans, so make some baked beans, side salad, roasted potatoes. I do a Moroccan chickpea stew. I'm sure Sam's made that a few times in the past. It's sort of a Moroccan season, so you'll have like coriander, cinnamon in the stew, so it's almost more of a very aromatic stew with chickpea and sweet potato. Google that, you'll find tons online. Moroccan chickpea stew. Vegetable stew, there's a lot of those options. You could add some beans in it for the protein. Just think of a classic stew that your mother would make, but beans in it. Like, in advance of doing this, I Googled everything that I'm saying here and found good recipes, like literally link one or two. So it's going to be really easy to find a vegetable pot pie. Not as much of, say, a whole, because you're making a crust and stuff. It's not going to be as healthy, but that's something that is delicious and might go over with the kids. Comfort food. Hearty salads with beans and sort of a Buddha bowl style thing, which I think you'd like, maybe won't fly as much with the kids, but you could take components out. Your kids might eat the quinoa from the bottom. They might eat the sweet potatoes, maybe. And you could put in stuff that they do like. Like, if they like vegan chicken nuggets, you could put that too, but at least maybe they'll eat a bit of the quinoa and a bit of the sweet potato. Because it's not about being perfect. And with kids, for those who are listening to have kids, it's very challenging and they often won't eat what we want them to eat, even when we create a beautiful, healthy meal. And sometimes you just need to give them the things you know they'll eat.
And I think it's important we don't force them to eat something. Like, I've always had the attitude with Harry, I will never make you eat something if you don't want it, but you have to try.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. They can try. And you know what? With kids, it's about continual exposure and also modeling. So we have to model the healthy eating behaviors that we want them to eventually also exhibit themselves, right? Okay, that was it for my non-soy. I just want to touch on a few soy-based options, which I'm pretty sure you like.
Yes.
And we brought this up before, tofu scramble. Everybody knows it. Everybody likes it. Just make tofu scramble when you're busy.
And you're clearing out your fridge. Yeah,
you just make that. It's a great Saturday morning brunch because usually by the end of the week, you're out of food and you have like a couple mushrooms in the fridge, like a wilting piece of kale, like a half-eaten zucchini. Like just chop everything up, make tofu scramble. There's tons of recipes online.
I love Edgy Veg's recipe. I make hers more than my own recipe.
So you're not talking about a tofu scramble that's faux egg flavor. You're talking about...
Well, it might taste... It could be faux egg. So
Edgy Veg's is faux egg. I like that one. But the one on my blog is more like a spicy paprika kind of one.
Oh, okay. Right.
And you could make even Mexican. Sometimes I'll
with
do...
the black beans
and salsa. Yeah, and with chili powder and kind of thing. And that I like too if I'm craving a different flavor.
But you could keep it really simple and literally just crumble the tofu, add in a little bit of turmeric for the color, anti-inflammatory properties as well, which are nice, and then season it with salt
or a bouillon cube.
A little bit of broth. But that's one I would definitely recommend, again, Googling recipes. Sam and I will both put our recipes in the show notes so people can go look, try them out, or check out Edgy Veg's recipe. We can link to that. We'll give three options for people to try who are kind of stuck on that. We also love, Sam, I think you like these as well, just tray bakes where you put on tofu on a tray and you bake it, or tempeh. I usually bake it with some vegetables as well. Serve that over rice or quinoa.
And then you're doing your protein and your veggies all at the same time, and that's what you use the leftover rice in your fridge.
And what are you putting on the tofu?
You could season it with, say, a peanut sauce. This is a good thing to look up. So,
but you're again, baking it with a peanut sauce?
Yes, with a topping. So most recipes, if you look up a tray bake, there's different options. Sometimes you'll see it for vegan. You'll see a chickpea tray bake or a bean tray bake or a tofu or tempeh tray bake, and usually they're going to tell you what you're going to season everything with. Sometimes you'll season the tofu and tempeh differently with like a peanut sauce or maybe just a bit of tamari, a bit of liquid smoke, a little maple syrup, and the veggies, you just toss them in some olive oil and salt. Usually in every tray bake recipe I've seen, they walk you through how to do it. And we have some in our cookbook actually. So check the cookbook. I forget which pages, but there's two tray bakes in there. Tofu feta. This is something I love to make, and you can do a really nice hearty salad with it. So tofu feta can be done two ways, where you cut your tofu into cubes and use a marinade. This is on my blog, so you can find this. Where it's cut into cubes, it literally tastes like feta. And you can serve that over rice, with beans. I share, I think, a salad recipe on my blog. It's a very hearty salad.
Like a Greek salad.
It's like a Greek salad. So you can either do it that way, and there's lots of cool recipes online for a feta that's actually soft. And we make it in the blender, in a Vitamix or a regular blender, and it makes a soft feta that we use on our pizza. We crumble it over our pizza. So to add more protein to our plant-based pizzas, rather than like a faux meat, we would use that for our protein. Mm-hmm. So I recommend people look that up. We also love at our house in the summer, especially the weather's getting warmer, we love skewers. Tofu or tempeh skewers. I have a recipe for tofu skewers on my blog. It's a really easy one. It's a good opportunity to get in more veggies. You load up your skewer with your tofu and a bunch of veggies, and then you serve that with salad, rice, quinoa, whatever. And it's very easy. Another one is a vermicelli noodle bowl, and I'm going to post that onto my blog very soon because it's a perfect spring recipe with rice noodles, a really yummy sauce, lots of veggies, and tofu. You don't even need to cook it. You literally just throw it in. It's easy. It has a peanut sauce. So stuff like that.
Well, this is interesting because I think as you've been talking, I've figured out some of my problems. One, I think I'm putting way too much pressure on myself because half the things you mentioned, I'm like, well, no, I make fajitas. I make lasagna. I think it's, you know, what you were saying about the bowls is a lot of times when I've made bowls, there's edamame in it, and both my kids can't stand edamame, and I'm always like, no, that's the protein, you gotta eat that. Like, it wouldn't occur to me to throw in a bunch of cut up chicken nuggets in there if they're not eating what I've made. In my mind is important, I think the meal has been a failure.
Yeah,
and then I won't come back to it.
That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself, right? Like, we have to look at our goals too. Again, I think we were talking about this before the podcast, we haven't touched on this yet, but looking at our goals. So Sarah and Sam, for the followers, you all know they're very different personalities if you've been listening to the podcast for years. Sam has a very different goal than Sarah would. Sam is a fitness professional. She works out in upwards of 2 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. So that's a really high need for protein. Sam, you could even take in more calories because of the amount of energy you're using throughout the day. Whereas Sarah, you're like me, you're likely quite a bit more sedentary than Sam. Not that we're sedentary, but we would be more sedentary than Sam. You might work out, you know, a couple days a week. You might be walking. So you're going to have a different goal with what you need to eat. So when Sam's talking about her protein requirements, it's going to be a lot higher. And when Sam makes food, she's thinking of it with that that goal in mind. So she's thinking of it as fueling her goal. It's a goal that we can quantify. Like, so Sam is, she say has goals of being a certain weight. She maybe wants to see her abs more. She maybe wants to be able to lift heavier weights, and she can actually see these. They're very objective goals. So she can really see what she's aiming for. For you, Sarah, you're just trying to eat healthy, you're trying to feed your family, and you're trying to make it easy for yourself.
Yeah, and I think I'm getting like 10 different rules all flying at me, and I'm trying to put them all in this one little bowl of something, and I hear everything that Sam says, and Sam is sort of a level of healthy that I don't really ever intend on getting.
And that's perfectly okay, because you're such different people with different life goals. But yeah, your goals are very different. So for you, it's about eating well. And one thing about eating well and being healthy is it's really hard to objectively make goals that way, right? For you, so it's harder to stay on track as just a normal person, just trying to eat well. We're just trying to work out a little bit here and there, just getting our walks in. It's hard to make a goal for yourself and stick to your goal of eating healthy if you're not seeing the results. So it is harder to stay on track of that. And most people don't pay attention to their health until they lose their health. So if you can find for yourself a goal, and we talked about this in the last podcast, think about it. Why are you eating healthy? Are you maybe trying to set a good example for your kids? Are you trying to feel better? Do you have pain in your joints? Maybe reducing inflammation so you can feel better when you're just working through your day. What's our next question?
As far as what we were talking about, can any of the above freeze well? Or what are we thinking in terms of things that, for like, I know lasagnas are a great one. Any other suggestions?
So chilies are good for that. Stews. I know soups aren't big on your rotation, but if you are going to make a soup that you know the whole family will like, make a double batch. Do you have any soups the family likes that even your husband might eat as lunch even?
Yeah, I do freeze soups.
Soups work well.
Stews is interesting.
Yeah, you can freeze stew. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought the vegetables would get kind of weird.
No, they're usually okay. Like, it depends on which vegetables are in there, but generally stews can work out. As long as there's a good amount of liquid.
Okay.
Like, if they're not too chunky.
All right.
I would say find a chili you love, find a stew you love, and a couple soups you love. And when you make them, just ensure to do a double or triple batch. So you can freeze those. If you know your family likes it, it's okay to have only three awesome recipes that you know your family loves. If you only have three or even one, that's better than having nothing in the freezer, right? We don't need to all have 42 awesome recipes frozen stacked in our freezer. And when you're freezing soups, everybody, or stews or whatever, just make sure that you put it in a container, ideally glass, and let it cool down completely to room temperature before putting in the freezer, because the saddest thing would be that if you do all this meal prep, if you put it in hot and your container explodes.
Yes, I always wondered why you were supposed to. I thought it was like the food goes bad or something.
Moisture, and because the moisture can and make it expand, and there'll be like more water, more liquid in there, so your container can explode.
Oh, that's good to
know.
Also, a good way to expedite that process is separate whatever your hot dishes from the pot into smaller containers, because obviously a big container of soup is going to take a lot, or chili or marinara, whatever you have, is going to take a lot longer to cool down than several small ones.
And so better for microwaving or whatever.
Yes, a lot less time.
Well, and especially if your family is only like me and Harry, I don't want to thaw out a giant serving and chances
eat
are
soup all week.
Well, exactly. Yeah. He won't eat that all week long, and I don't want it either.
And that's it's a good portion control. So for a lot of Sam's listeners who are, you know, fitness people, it's a great way to portion things out and know how much you need, especially if, like, say you're one of Sam's clients that has a plan. You can measure it out, freeze it accordingly, and help yourself out. I always say I thank my past self for being smart when I do anything like freezer meals. Because you know, you get home that day, you're just so tired, you don't want to cook, and you're debating doing takeout or whatever. When you remember you have that frozen thing,
totally,
you're never more thankful for your past self.
No, and this freezer question came because my family got COVID for the first time, and it was horrendous. And I was like bedridden and trying to feed them. I didn't have anything in the freezer. And, you know, my husband is not even sure I would say he cooks, but
like, you were going to say useless, weren't you? and that's love. You caught yourself.
I'm pretty sure my kids ate pancakes one night.
That's also okay.
Yeah. I eat pancakes with steamed vegetables for lunch often.
Okay, that's weird.
I'm really into waffles right now, actually. I got a waffle maker.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
That's good.
And I actually want to mention that. So if you're...
I have one I never use. You can have.
Really?
So if someone wants to do, say, waffles or pancakes, they can do a SAM version, add protein powder. They
or
can
do tofu waffle.
Tofu. You can do tofu waffles now. A savory tofu waffle. A lot of people are doing those. Mm-hmm. I like chickpea flour. It's a higher protein, high iron flour that you can use for waffles as well. Or even pancakes. I do savory pancakes. But for, there's two ways to do it. The SAM style, where you're going to add protein powder, or the Amy style. So what I would like to do.
We add curry powder.
I do add curry powder to my savory ones. This is my healthifying way. So when I make pancakes or waffles, I often stew a little bit of fruit, throw in some chia seeds. So I know I'm getting more protein and more fiber. So Sam's really big on the protein. I'm really big on the fiber. My goal is really a gut health, whole foods based thing. So that's why I really push fiber on my clients. So I do stewed berries and I put that on my pancake or my waffle. I also like to drizzle over an almond butter a little bit, or a little bit of like a runny peanut butter. That's kind of a way to healthify it. Even my daughter ate this the other day. And I know I talk about hemp nonstop, but it's such a good food to sprinkle over those things. And it kind of can reduce the amount of syrup you're putting. Cause I do think you can't skimp on the syrup. Sam, you have a special syrup, don't you?
For my pancakes, but yes. For Harry, he gets real maple syrup.
Yes, and Sarah, you can use real maple syrup, okay?
In case any of my health freaks out there, bodybuilders listening, it's the Nature's Hollow raspberry syrup. That's 2 tablespoons, is like no calories, and it actually is really good.
You can do my chia jam and maybe some maple syrup. I just like finding ways to say healthify things. So if I'm making something, I'm just thinking, can I add something green? Can I add some more fiber? Can I add a plant-based whole foods protein source? And you can start thinking that way too. It's not a big shift. When you're adding things, you really want to think whole foods. So, you know, whole grains, nuts, seeds, fruit, vegetables. I really like to lean into green vegetables, leafy greens. Cauliflower counts as a green vegetable, so.
See, and I always think, how can I add protein to this?
But you know what, for me, when I think I should kind of go on with that too, is am I eating beans, am I eating tofu, am I eating tempeh? These are just all things you kind of think about. What can you add in that will healthify?
Next question, Sari.
Okay, so meal prep. I like the idea of meal prep, but it's not realistic for me because I loathe cooking. To me, it's like a prison sentence. So on the weekend, I don't want to spend an entire Sunday prepping foods. What do you suggest for somebody like me?
Okay, so and I think Sam will also want to chime in on this question as well, because we are both meal planners, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously. At this point, I think we're on a subconscious level with our meal planning.
Totally.
A big part of what I do throughout the week is think ahead for the next week. Think ahead what meals I might want to make. If there's any recipes that I see pop up on my Instagram or my Facebook, or if somebody I'm following shares a good recipe, I take note of that. I look and see what the ingredients are, and I do a little scan of my fridge and my pantry and see, do I have all that stuff? And I keep a running list, and I know Sam does as well. My list is on my fridge. So when I need to get new things, I write those on my list so that I know that on the weekend when the time comes to go to the grocery store, or alternatively, I could easily do an order. So you can place an order for delivery if you know what you need, so you're not spending an hour in the grocery store wandering around aimlessly. So start getting that running list going.
And also the opposite, like what is going bad in your fridge? Before I even do groceries, I always look, okay, what do I want to use up? What recipes can I think of?
So you're going to want to start thinking ahead, or even like Sam said, looking what's going bad. Generally, I would say for me, and I'm sure Sam as well, my fridge is full on Monday, and by the weekend, it's bare. For many reasons, this is good. Number one, because I know that I'm not wasting food and I'm not wasting money. So if a motivator for anyone out there is money, meal prepping is the way to go. You will save so much money by not ordering out, but also not throwing away food. Because throwing away food is throwing money in the garbage.
Especially for those of us who really try to prioritize buying organic food. It's not cheap. And I think because I spend more money on it, it motivates me to not waste it.
Mm-hmm. But I also think that's not a talent I have, where I can't open my fridge and go, okay, so I've got, you know, this, that, and that, okay, and it's going to expire. What should I make with this? Like, that's not even...
But that's why green juices, we touched on this on the last episode, green juices and tofu scrambles, right? You can pretty much use anything in those.
Oh, and actually, Sarah, you know what you could do? Because even if you're the only one in your house eating a smoothie, if you see some kale or spinach about to go bad, just throw it in a bag and put it in the freezer, and you can throw the cold version into your smoothie when you make it so that you don't waste it. Because even if it's just for you, so you can almost start a little bag of like things that are going bad. If you see a couple berries going bad, throw it in the bag. If you have banana starting to brown, throw it in the bag. You literally have like a bag of pre-made smoothie ingredients that you just throw into your blender with some protein powder or hemp or chia and a little bit of soy milk or whatever milk you use. And there you go. When you're prepping for the weekend, thinking ahead, if you find a few recipes, you've worked together with your kids to find a few recipes, write them down somewhere that you can see them so you know what you're making as well. If you have to, print out the recipes so that they can go through and look for all the ingredients. Make your list, either go to the grocery store with your complete list or put an order in for delivery. Then on Sunday, you're gonna cook. Maybe you're only gonna do one or two of the recipes. So one of the things we discuss a lot in my classes is if you're gonna do two recipes at once, look at both the recipes. Do they have any overlapping ingredients? Is there onions in both? Is there carrots in both? So when you're doing your chopping, a really good way to do this faster is either put things through a food processor. So say you know you have a bunch of onions going in between the two recipes, you can food process them, or you can buy one of those vegetable chopper things. But do the things that appear in both recipes together. It's something that's done in restaurant kitchens. They go through what's called a mise en place, is where they look at every single thing they need for all of the food that day, and the chefs will go and chop all the spinach they need, they'll chop all the green onions they need, and they'll have it all ready to go. So that mise en place is something that you can kind of think about doing when you're doing your recipes, and having things laid out in little bowls in front of you so that when it's stuff is going into the pot or going into the frying pan, you're not panicking because one thing's burning and you don't have the other thing prepped. So go through and chop everything in advance. The habit of doing this will get you faster at cooking, get you more confident cooking, and you're going to see and be able to pay attention to what's happening in the pot or in the pan or in the frying pan when you're cooking so that you become more confident. Because one of the problems for a lot of people is the speed at which they cook and the confidence which they have in themselves in doing that. So to speed it up is being efficient. Think like a restaurant. Utilize tools you have in your kitchen, like a food processor, to chop things. If you're like, I hate cutting onions, it takes like a million years and I'm always crying. So put them in the food processor and it will do the chopping for you. Just pulse in a food processor. So really try to be efficient about that as possible, and don't try to do every recipe for the week on Sunday. Do a couple.
Okay, well, maybe that's where I'm mistaken on what food prep is.
No, you don't need to do them all. Some people do, but there are people, and a lot of them, I'm sure, say Sam's clients who are listening, will probably prepare out a little lunch every day, portioned out, ready to go. Is that what your clients do?
Well, no, not necessarily. Like, I usually recommend to people to do two chunks of meal prepping per week, mostly because I want fresher food, and also it's not as much of a time commitment, and it can often give you more variety in your meals, right? So, like, I think I mentioned on the last episode, I always have tofu either marinating in the fridge or the next day it's, you know, it going in the air fryer. And I'm doing other stuff while it's in the air fryer, marinating it. I'll do that, you know, chop up the tofu, throw it in a sauce while I'm making Harry's lunch at night. It's not this like dedicated window of 3 to 4 hours where I'm just cooking, slaving over a stove. No, I don't have time for that either. And most parents don't, right? So it's like little blocks. And I'll do that too. Like, okay, I'm going to chop up these vegetables, whether I use them on nachos, in tofu scramble, whatever I might use them for, in a pasta sauce, you know, I'm going to have them all ready to go chopped up so that whatever I do decide to use with them, it's just a matter of whoosh, throwing it in a pan, because I hate chopping vegetables. It's time consuming and annoying.
So sometimes when you're talking about meal prepping, you're just talking about chopping shit for the week?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or it could be anything. It could be soaking quinoa for my quinoa bread.
See, I envisioned it as what you were saying, where it's just hours of slaving away, making like five, and I'm like, no, I'd rather put
a bowl in
there.
We never do that. You know what? I do think, because we see a lot of that when you look at social media and you see maybe somebody showing their meal prep for a week, there are certain people that their brain works that way, that, and I'm sure there's listeners who's like, I like to do everything on Sunday, have all my lunches packed, and for some people that works.
Yeah,
for me, I'm more like Sam, where I would prefer to cook maybe three times a week.
And it's for what? An hour to 2 hours max?
Maybe that's basically why you guys like cooking.
Maximum three Paw Patrol episodes and I'm done.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Like for me, it's usually honestly like chunks of 45 minutes, I would say. So I know protein balls only takes me like 10 minutes to make. So I'm going to do that while my quinoa bread is baking in the oven. I'm always thinking what kind of time wise I can do at the same time that's not going to result in an entire day chopping vegetables and cooking stews on the stovetop.
And this is something we could really talk about really in depth on how to streamline basically the process of what you're doing. But it's a lot of little things that come with over time and practice. Just like anything, Sam did not get that six pack from not training it every day. Same thing goes with cooking, right? Like, we have to continually practice to get better, find ways to be efficient. Even once you become familiar and used to doing a certain recipe, if you have a favorite one, you have it in your back pocket. You don't even think. It's done. It's easy. But when you try a new recipe, you have to read through it a few times. You have to check back on the steps. So it's just practice, and it's tough, but it's like anything. We have to be consistent.
Okay, last question, because I do feel like this episode is getting long. Thank God I'm not talking much, but it's good. Good info, and I feel like all of our listeners out there who do relate more to Sarah than myself will probably love this one. So, okay, last question, Sarah, choose wisely.
Well, I guess I want to ask about lunch. I hate lunch. Lunch is the worst meal of the day. To me, it's just like a huge waste of time. You're in the middle of a project doing something, and it's like, I'm hungry. And you have to stop what you're doing and go and like eat some crap. I genuinely enjoy like a good sandwich. But then Sam is so anti-bread. So I want to ask you, Amy, about bread. Are you anti-bread? Can I eat bread? Do normal people eat bread, and are sandwiches an option?
I'm not anti-bread for the
record. We're not talking about quinoa bread.
No, I'm not talking about that, because I give bread to Harry. And Amy and I were actually talking about this another day, where we look at very different things on a food label, especially when it comes to things like bread. And we both buy sprouted Ezekiel bread. And for me, I'm looking at, wow, that has like 9-10 grams of protein. And she's looking at more the fiber, I guess.
Fiber versus sugar. Ezekiel bread? Because I would like to try it.
Yes.
Well,
I have some in the freezer.
The bread Sam has, it's called Silver Hills. So it's a sprouted bread.
And bagels.
Sprouted means basically like they sprout the grains of the bread before they turn it into flour. So sprouting makes things higher in nutrients because when it sprouts, it makes it easier on digestion. So it's a really digestible bread. So Sam has Silver Hills brand. You can find that at Costco, Loblaws, anywhere, probably in the States too. Just look for sprouted. There's so many options that you can find, but that's the main one here. And I would look for sprouted. Personally, I eat the same bread as Sam, but I also look for a sourdough. Sourdough has a similar process in that it's a fermented and then baked bread. It's more nutritious, more digestible, and delicious.
Is this sprouted bread, is this found in the grocery store with the other bread, or is it in like the
It's going to be in the
section?
Natural food
No,
section.
Not Silver oh, Hill. Now they that? Move them out with the
Good
the
to
riff
know.
Raff.
the evil bread.
But yeah, so one of the things Sam was saying, she looks for on the nutrition info on the back, she looks at how much protein per slice or two slices, whatever. I look at the fiber versus sugar. A good way for anybody looking for bread is when you look at how much fiber in it versus how much sugar, it's under the carbohydrate section. Fiber should always be higher than the sugar in grams. So if Sam goes and gets that bread... Okay, so Sam got the bread. We're looking at her Silver Hills Omega Amazing bread. And the protein, let's see, where is that? 10 grams per two slices. Oh, and geez. I'm looking at the back now under the carbohydrates. And fiber is above sugar. And fiber is 9 grams, whereas sugar is 3. So that's what you want to be looking for, is higher fiber than sugar.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I give Harry.
My daughter eats it as well. It's actually a nice thickness too. So that's what you want to think about when you're looking for bread, is always... if it has a food label, other than sourdough, you're not generally, if it's say an artisanal baker, which is where I often buy mine at the farmers markets, or I'll make my own on occasion, you're not gonna be able to read the label because it doesn't have one. Right. But on the ones when you're reading labels, just look at that fiber sugar ratio, and you wanna have more fiber. And Sam, what would you say for protein? What do you want people to look for? 5 grams per slice?
Yeah, I would say that one. I thought it was per slice 9 grams of protein. So, I mean, again, I don't eat a ton of it. I'd rather my quinoa bread because I know it's got all the amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein. But yeah, I think that's pretty good. 9 grams for two slices for Harry, for instance. Or I would eat that as like a pre-workout, you know, if I wanted a lunch. Like yesterday, I had a TLT, tempeh, lettuce, and tomato.
Then I'm like, she's eating bread
on a Silver Hills bagel. So I knew I was doing a leg day. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have like a lot of carbs going into this workout. And then between the bagel and the tempeh, I was probably hitting a good 25 grams of protein.
Yes, you can eat bread. Yes, you can eat sandwiches. Even Sam eats bread sometimes, for the listeners who might have doubted it because she always posts that quinoa bread. Also, for lunch, again, don't overthink it. I literally eat leftovers from the night before. That's what I do every day.
Yeah, I do that a lot too.
Because I don't want to be making lunch. I don't have time for that.
Or like a food. Caesar salad, vegan Caesar salad with tempeh crumbled up on top is good.
That's a lot of work.
No, it's not. I just make the dressing in advance and then it's just rip up some lettuce and the tempeh's already made too. Like, because those are the things that would be in my meal prep.
Okay. Right? All right.
How does that sound?
Maybe I've been a little too hard on myself. And what I like about what you did is you sort of said tray bakes. Like, you gave me a term to Google because when I'm looking up recipes, the next thing you know, you've gone through like 25 recipes, and at that point I just get overwhelmed and I just give up.
And on days like that, it's okay to fall back to your old favorites that you know you like and you know you're good at. When you're feeling overwhelmed, do something easy, because when you do cook and when you're done, you know everyone's gonna be happy, and that's a better feeling, you know, glitching when you're like online trying to find something and your brain just explodes because you're too stressed.
Exactly.
So fall back to an old favorite. You just need a few of those.
Okay. I think we've got enough for this one, but we do have to wrap up here, and I do want to say, if you found this information valuable, now is the time to sign up for my program that I'm running with Amy in a few weeks. It's all virtual or local in person if you are a resident of Ottawa, but it's literally open to everyone to do virtually. If you have always wanted to work with me doing training and workouts together, if you now love Amy and the wealth of wisdom she brings in the vegan nutrition, vegan cooking space, this is your opportunity. This is the first time we're running this program, and it's very affordable, and it's 1 month long, so you'll be spending your weekend throughout April with us. We're going to get you into a really good place heading into spring, so that summer you are rocking those booty shorts, feeling like the best version of yourself, and just feeling like you have some control in your life. If you are a parent, busy working professional, if you're just struggling with your weight, if you're just know you need to do an overhaul of your diet and want to get some good fun workouts in with other like-minded people in the same boat as you, please go over to my website and check it out. It is called the Fit and Healthy Over 40 Program, and Amy and I would love to meet you and have you join us and be a part of this. So thank you, Amy, for being on the podcast. Thank you for speaking
a lot more than
I did this time. Sarah, I'm sure you enjoyed all that free information that you probably should have paid for. Yeah.
The invoice is coming, Sarah.
Yeah.
Check your email.
Yeah. So yeah, hope you guys got some good info out of that one. We got to get our asses to go pick up our kids as usual. But thanks everybody for listening, and be sure to check out Fit and Healthy Over 40 program launching in April in a couple weeks. So don't hesitate, get on the program, and we'll see you over there. Shorky Sisters plus Amy Longard out.